Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hi.
Hi. Enjoy the show.
Well, you guys ready to do this, huh? We're going to talk a little Michigan, Michigan State, maybe some football.
I like it on record that I feel like my head could pop right now. I'm sick. I'm down bad. So you have to be nice to me.
Okay. Yeah. No, sure.
That's you have to be nice to me. I will take all blame. I was very sick last night. I had to go to bed. So you have to be nice.
I'm not sure you can just claim a nice card right off the top. I mean, I feel like we can no holds barred here. I don't know when we've ever said, hey, you can't be mean to me.
No. Well, that's why there's a first time for everything. I was telling Jack and Katie before you logged on that I feel like I could take a pin and pop my head. That's how much it hurts right now. So I just wanted it on record that I'm not feeling my best and I feel like you should be nice.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try that. I'm going to be nice today. I'm going to be nice. Real talk, though, before we get into it, we're coming to you from Sunday morning and I haven't even started the podcast yet, but I've been sick for like 4 days. Controversial Barstool Sports founder Dave Portnoy has poisoned my life.
Poisoned all of us.
Yeah. So
poisoned all of them. But can we tell everybody? Don't go to salon right now. Don't tell the people.
Don't tell anybody. But controversial Barstool Sports founder has
he's been coughing and he has a really bad headache.
He has diseased me. I am diseased.
I am diseased as well. I feel like the entire plane is going to be diseased. Katie will be next. Katie will be down bad in just a few hours. I love that the guy that reported that acted as if like we hadn't all said it publicly. Like if you watched the Pro Football Show this morning, like Dave literally said, I feel like absolute shit. Now we all feel like shit. We don't have COVID though. That's what matters.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome to Unnecessary Roughness Barstool's College Football Podcast, brought to you by the good people at High Noon Hard Seltzer. It is delicious. It is fantastic. High Noon Sunsips, I should say. It is great. The flavors are fantastic. We saw a lot of High Noons in action again yesterday at Michigan State. I love High Noon. There, said it.
I love High Noon, too. I had a nice cold High Noon at about 8:30 yesterday morning to do an ad because it was a Big Ten show. A lot of people drinking High Noons well before the sun came up, I would imagine, in East Lansing yesterday. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was High Noon 30 early yesterday. I will say
that makes me jealous of Big Ten schools. I don't now, not now because I'm too old for that, but in college, the fact that they get to do that at like 6 o'clock in the morning, that would be all time.
Yeah, I don't know that I would ever want to do that at 6:30 in the morning, but props to them for doing it. It was something. All right, so we got a lot of football to talk about. An interesting weekend of football. Some teams that we expected to come through have come through. Some teams that we have expected to come through have not come through. There are a lot of elements at play here, and we're 2 days away from the first release of the 2021 college football playoff rankings. So I'll just get this out of the way now. Believe Tuesday night we will record after they release the rankings, and we'll perhaps have you a YouTube video maybe late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, probably late Tuesday night. But we will hold our show for that on Tuesday. But we start in East Lansing, Michigan. That's where we start. And we have several ways to go about this. But let's first say that we were in East Lansing, Michigan for that, and the scene was absolutely fantastic.
It's the best crowd we've ever had. I think, I don't want to say by far, because we've had a lot of great crowds, but
I will say by far.
I was going to say, but I feel like we can say by far. Again, like, you know, the location was fantastic. The fact that it was a top 10 game, and it was the first time that had happened in like 40 years between those two teams. It was amazing. Dave played, I mean, Brandon, you're a wrestling guy. He played a WWE character perfectly yesterday. Like the video of him when he walks out and he like swing, like winds his arms up and swings to do the double middle finger. Fantastic.
Right. Yeah, fantastic. And I'm sure it was, you know, I've kind of envisioned what it would be like if we did a show in Oxford and I could do that. And I've like created these visions in my mind about what I would do. And it was pretty close to what he got to do in real life. I was jealous.
I feel like you're going to get to do that at some point. And it's going to be, I mean, anytime you get to go to your rival and do that. And like, I mean, Dave got a full Red Bull pelted in his chest yesterday. Didn't even feel it. Like that's how electric, like the set was, the people there, I've never been to East Lansing. I know that you and Katie hadn't been either. Like the early on before the show, I was like, this town kind of stinks. Like we had a great dinner, me, the three of us and Dan, great dinner. I was like, it's not really anything great. That completely changed once our bus was literally shaking at 8:30 in the morning, an hour and a half before the show, because of how loud and like just crazy drunk that crowd was. And I loved it.
Yeah. So we were there because Michigan and Michigan State were undefeated. Now let's get into it. They were undefeated. They were both 7-0. And I feel like you guys are anticipating some sort of spiking the football from me. I feel like you guys are anticipating me crowing. And that's not actually going to happen, because here's the deal. My stance before the game was never Michigan State's a lot better football team than Michigan. Michigan State's a better football team than Michigan. I never actually said that. What I said was, I think these two teams are dead even. There's nothing you can do to separate them. And I disagree with you and Jack when you said Michigan was flat out better. I don't understand how anybody could look at those two teams and see that. And for about three quarters, I thought I was going to have to eat those words. I really did. I was like, oh, fuck. Well, when I got to the Brandon Walker College Football Show Monday, the caller's going to eat me alive. But,
wait, hold on. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You've got to stop tweeting those thoughts before the end of the game.
No, I don't think so. Because I think that reflects where we are. I think that reflects emotions. I'm an emotional guy. And when I see Michigan taking a 30-14 lead, I'm gonna put out there, you know, these funny things or these reactions. And I don't have any problem putting those out there. But phenomenal football game. Phenomenal football game.
I honestly, I know it's recency bias, and obviously we were hyped up because we were in East Lansing and then we were streaming yesterday, but I think it's been the best game of the year.
It's up there. I mean, like it was 30-14, Michigan State looked dead, and then we have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a player to take the Heisman race by storm. We've been waiting for somebody to put a team on their back. Yesterday, I don't know that Michigan or Michigan State, I don't know which team is better. I know who the best player in that game was, though. His name was Kenneth Walker III. He rushed for 199 yards and 5 touchdowns, including a 58-yarder in the second half. And every time they needed something, he delivered. He was the best player in the best game of the year, and now he has to be leading all Heisman races. He was incredible.
Yeah, no, credit to Katie, too. I mean, I know that we've all thrown his name around, but she's been, like, staunchly on him. And Katie, what did you say his future odds were that you got him at last week?
I put him in on Friday, and I got him at plus 1,800, I think. And so I'm about to go check what the live one is, and I guarantee you it's got to be, like, plus 300 after this one.
I mean, he has to be the favorite, like, from an odds standpoint, no? I mean, I haven't looked at it this morning, I'll be completely honest. But, I mean, we, like Brandon just said, we've been waiting for somebody to really separate from the pack. And, I mean, you can't – like, I know after the game, and, of course, he's going to be, you know, a humble guy, and Katie and I were talking about this on the ride home. When he was like, oh, I don't think it was a Heisman moment. It's like, dude, you just had 5 touchdowns in a top 10 rivalry, 200 yards. Like, you are now the Heisman favorite. You're allowed to brag a little bit.
Now, he was great. Here's the secret about this game. I still don't know who's good. I still don't know if either one of these teams are good. Michigan was like counter to everything they've ever been yesterday. Like, they threw for 370 yards. Cade McNamara's been terrible all year, and then he was excellent in that game. I do come out of that game thinking Michigan's probably a little bit Like, I think they can compete with Ohio State more than I thought they could compete going into yesterday, because Ohio State kind of looked average yesterday. So the whole Big Ten kind of was put on its ear, but I still think I don't understand why you guys thought Michigan was so much better than Michigan State. Can somebody ever answer me that question?
I will tell you this, Brandon, I will give you credit. You said this on the show live yesterday that you think both Michigan and Michigan State will get shellacked by Ohio State. You never were out like, oh, Michigan State's way better. I mean, Jack, I'll let you go too. I mean, I legitimately, even yesterday when it was 30-14 and you look at the, you know, the box score and it's like, you know, Michigan had 552 yards. Michigan State had what I think like 390. So, I mean, they outgained them. There were so many plays in that game that Michigan just looked like a better football team. Cade McNamara looked like, I mean, obviously Kenneth Walker, yes, we're going to put him as the best player, but Michigan could do whatever they wanted. A couple things didn't fall their way. I still think Michigan is a more talented football team. Credit to Michigan State. They obviously won the game. I'm not going to take that away from them. But Jack, I mean, I know you, we were talking shit in the group text. I still think Michigan will hold up against Ohio State better than Michigan State. But again, I can't talk shit because Michigan State won.
Jack?
No, I mean, I didn't factor into my prediction for the game that the referees all went to Michigan State. A few unlucky bounces really affected Michigan.
Oh, boy.
Michigan had a post-game win expectancy of 70%. Credit to Michigan State, they came back. They could have folded when it was 30-14. But, yeah, the refs really, really fucked up that game.
I tried to play the good guy here.
Brandon, you're Mr. Bad Ref. You hate the refs.
I think it's such a loser move to blame officials.
Oh, yeah. You've never done that.
It's such a loser move to blame officials.
You know fully fucking well, and you're going to sit here and you're going to be on your high horse and your pedestal. There were multiple non-calls on pass interference yesterday that were so blatantly obvious that I don't care who you were rooting for, Brandon, you know that they were.
That's what we're doing. Yes. We spent weeks leading up to this game arguing about it. I was right the entire time, and now you guys are going to blame the officials.
No. Did I say? I said right off the top.
You're agreeing with Jack.
I said credit to Michigan State. However, you can agree. Katie can agree. Jack can agree. We can all agree. There were multiple bad calls in the game. I'm not going to blame them.
Stop.
Michigan could have put them away. They didn't, okay?
You can't say, first of all, credit to Michigan State, but Michigan's still better. That's bullshit.
Yes, I can. I just said it.
That's bullshit. Wait,
so let's talk about it. Let's just like go through some of them. So there was
the game. I called them frauds. They're not.
One at a time, everybody. One at a time, Jack.
I still don't know how that wasn't a fumble on Peyton Thorne that resulted in a touchdown. That was clear pass interference on the 4th and 4 or whatever it was late in the game when they were down 3 or down 4. And then on top of it, J.J. McCarthy's fumble, that's not on the refs, but that was really unfortunate. This isn't to, like, take away from Michigan State, but I think it's like, how did we think that Michigan was the better team? I mean, they did play very, very well, and then there were some really just weird calls throughout the game. And, I mean, I get it. They were up 16 points in the second half, so – like, you can't really blame the refs that much. It's that they're part of the game, but
guys, this is unbelievable. Michigan had a 16-point lead in the late third quarter, and they couldn't stop their vaunted elite defense. Just couldn't even come close to stopping Kenneth Walker.
I said that.
But you guys aren't paying the piper here.
Here's the thing: is they should have.
You're still saying I was right, even though you weren't.
They should have put them away. There's no doubt. If you're a much better football team, you should have been able to put them away. So I will say that. I will say that I did not think Michigan State, especially in the third quarter, I thought it was going to be a blowout. I mean, Dave was about to leave the gambling house so early because it looked like that. I will say that I was wrong about Michigan State. However, I agree with Jack that there were multiple things that happened. First of all, why J.J. McCarthy was in the game ever is shocking to me, because he not only had that fumble, the series before, but he had a fumble.
Well, he also had like a really great touchdown pass as well.
I know, McNamara played the whole season.
But he
had the fumble that was kicked out of bounds by a Michigan State player that should have been definitely a fumble. Then the very next time he's out on the field, he fumbles. Meanwhile, if they would have just let Cade McNamara throw the entire game, I mean, every time the ball was in his hands, I mean, I know he had the one interception at the end of the game, but like he was the answer to them. Brandon's so mad at us right now.
No, I'm not mad. It's just this is all pointless. Like, okay, fine. The numbers, Michigan had a couple more yards. You know, Cade McNamara this, Cade McNamara that. But ultimately, Jim Harbaugh is 0-7 in his last, you know, seven games against top 10 opponents or ranked opponents, whatever it is. Like, they know how to lose these games. Michigan knows how to lose these games.
They do. I just didn't think they were going to do it yesterday. But they, I mean, Brandon, you're 1,000% right. When they could not stop Kenneth Walker yesterday. Every single time he was in the back, I was like, fuck, Michigan is absolutely not going to be able to stop him. He tore them up. That the 56-yard rush that he had in the second half, or in the 56-yard touchdown, that was disgusting display by Michigan. However, I still am not going to sit here and be like, oh, my God, I was so fucking wrong. It's not like Michigan State went out there and just absolutely killed them yesterday.
No, they didn't, but that's the fucking point. That's the point. They're the same team. They're even teams. And you guys said Michigan was better. No, they're the exact same teams. It's a coin flip game. And they won because they were at home, and they got some calls that home teams get, and they got the advantages that home teams get. That was my point the whole time.
Are you gonna stop yelling now?
I can't yell.
My head hurts too bad to fucking yell. I'm sick. You're sick. Katie's gonna be sick in a couple hours. Jack's probably gonna be sick tomorrow. We can't yell, okay?
Well, why can't people see this? What happened is exactly what I said was gonna happen.
Did I not text you after the game and say congratulations? Did I not? And then you said, oh, not necessary. And I was like, no, like you were right. You pandered to the crowd yesterday, but credit to you. You've been saying it for 8 weeks. I will say that, like, I stood up for you on the show that it wasn't just a pandering thing, even though you were kind of pandering. This game, like we said, was one of the best games of the year, if not the best game. The teams looked very even. Kenneth Walker, definitely the best player on the field. However, if they played 10 out of 10, the 10 games this season, I would still take Michigan to win the most of them.
That's insanity. If these two teams played next week, it would be a coin flip game again, and the team that gets the best bounces is going to win. The next week, coin flip game, bounce. Coin flip game, bounce. These are the same teams. The same exact teams. They've got weaknesses. They've got strengths. There's nothing you can do to separate them. Michigan State got the bounces because they were at home, and they won the game.
Okay.
And this world where Michigan's this good team just does not exist.
Can I ask you a question? Is it not the best Michigan team they've had in at least 10 years?
I don't think so. 2016 almost made the playoff.
I think they could. Are we not saying they could compete with Ohio State at this point?
I mean, listen,
they could still make the Big Ten championship. So should Michigan State. Like the Big Ten is, and Michigan and Michigan State finished at like fucking 5 o'clock yesterday. It was the longest game in the history of college football. Like, we didn't know what Penn State and Ohio State was going to look like.
This Michigan team is not a playoff team. No, this is not neither one of them are.
But that's what my point is. But Ohio State could have easily lost to fucking Penn State, who lost to Illinois last week. We don't know what's going to happen in the Big Ten.
I'm telling you what's going to happen in the Big Ten. Here's the thing. Ohio State looked a little average yesterday, but if Michigan can't stop Peyton Thorne and Kenneth Walker, what the hell are they going to do against Travion Henderson and C.J. Stroud and those receivers?
What Penn State did yesterday.
Don't worry about Penn State. We're talking about Michigan. Michigan would be a playoff team. If Michigan got in the playoff, it would be the biggest embarrassment for the Big Ten in the last 30 years.
I'm not saying that Michigan should be in the playoff. I'm saying that the way that the three top Big Ten teams yesterday played, I am not willing to say that Ohio State is by far and away the best team in the Big Ten.
I am. I'm still willing to say that they didn't look good yesterday. They didn't look as good. Still won by nine. Penn State.
I mean, the biggest embarrassment for the last 50 years. The last
Michigan State.
That darkest day. No, the actual biggest embarrassment was the darkest day in Big Ten history, which was when Brendan wrote that article when they returned to play football after COVID. But actually, the biggest embarrassment for the Big Ten was the only time a non-Ohio State team made the playoff. That was Michigan State, and they got completely embarrassed by Alabama in the college football playoff.
Michigan has too many holes to be a playoff team. And they'll – listen, I mean, they got to go to Penn State, right?
Yeah. I feel like you're like wanting me to be like, oh, Michigan's still the number. Like, they lost yesterday.
Credit. Yeah, but you started this by saying Michigan could still get to the playoff.
They could, technically.
Technically, so could
Michigan State.
Technically, a whole bunch of teams could get there.
So could Wisconsin. But here, when you look at the Big Ten right now, Brandon, the Big Ten East, could they not all three get to the playoff technically?
No. You mean together?
No, I'm saying like that's – I mean – oh,
technically, yeah. Technically,
Ohio State has a loss. Michigan State doesn't have a loss.
Fine. Okay, let me just say this. Technically, Michigan State is in great shape to get to the playoff.
Yes.
They're not going to because they're not good enough. Michigan is in good shape to get to the playoff. They're not going to because they're not good enough. I think Michigan State is going to be in danger against Penn State. I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. I think Michigan is going to be in grave danger against Penn State. I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. These are what I think, because I just think Penn State has the aberration loss, that terrible-ass loss to Illinois. But maybe last night says more about Penn State than Ohio State. I still think offensively the matchup against Michigan and Michigan State, Ohio State, I can't see them going for less than 50 in either of those games.
That's fair. I mean, but they definitely showed weakness on offense yesterday.
Against a defense that I feel like is a hell of a lot better than Michigan State's defense. And what I saw of Michigan's defense yesterday, probably better than them too. Okay. All right.
Brandon.
Hi.
Hi. So we talk about this a lot, how much student debt stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. All debt stinks, but student debt stinks so much.
Student debt stinks. I will say yesterday, one of the and Dan said it perfectly when we were in the bus, that we really – like, we felt washed because we missed college so much. You're looking at all these kids in East Lansing partying. It's Halloween weekend. It's a Big Ten weather game. They're all drinking. And you reminisce about the good times in college. But what you forget in those moments is that if you do have to get a student loan to go to college, that part stinks much longer than the reminiscing.
Yeah, you've got to pay the piper eventually. And paying the piper always stinks. But we got people that will help with that.
Our friends at Earnest. Right now, you can refinance your student debt at earnest.com/barstool. And if you do so, Brandon, you get $100 cash bonus, which I feel like is just, I mean, free money is always good. But the best thing about Earnest is you can get radically flexible payments. You can reduce your loan term. You can save money. And you can even talk to a real live human online. It takes just a few minutes to do, just only two minutes. But again, I think the best part about this is if you just go do it and you have student debt, you get $100. Go to earnest.com/barstool.
I enjoy free money, Casey. That is my statement to you.
I very much enjoy free money. Terms and conditions do apply. Do you want me to do the low voice really quick?
I'd be mad if you didn't.
Okay. Visit earnest.com/barstool for more details. Terms and conditions do apply. Wow, I broke there. Earnest Student Loan Refinancing at Earnest Operations LLC in California. Visit earnest.com/licenses for a full list of licenses.
I don't like your sick whisper.
Yeah, it hurt. That one hurt.
Yeah,
that one really, really hurt. But while we're talking about the Big Ten, though, what? Wisconsin's back, baby.
Remember, I hated that. Do you remember? They're not really back, but remember when we had to pretend Iowa was good for half the season?
Oh my God! Not only pretend like they were good, Brandon, pretend like they warranted the number two ranking in the country, which they did at the time. But boy, do they stink!
I mean, they're really bad. I wonder, there are just certain programs that, I mean, they come into every season, and no matter how excited they get for 1 week, they know that they're coming back to the average eventually. Like, no matter what you do as an Iowa fan, whoever you beat, you get up to number two, you know Kirk Ferentz is going to go 9-3, 10-2 at very best. He doesn't have it in him to go any better than that. So when they get it this excited, like Iowa, just 7 points at Wisconsin. Listen, I know Wisconsin's defense is very good, but Iowa's offense is just pathetic to watch.
I mean, didn't they have like 5 yards in the first quarter? It was a real stat, right?
I think it was like a quarter and a half, but yeah.
80 sacks, wasn't that a stat?
Yeah, pretty close to it. I think it was 12. And also, I was right, Kenneth Walker is leading the Heisman race, and he's plus 150 right now.
There you go. Good for you, Katie. That's a great future bet. Iowa's offense was putrid. I mean, first of all, at the beginning of that game, there was like 17 punts, it felt like. It was such a Big Ten game. I know we were in the air for the beginning of it, but, I mean, Wisconsin's defense looked fantastic yesterday. I don't know what that necessarily says because they were playing an Iowa offense that quite literally couldn't even get 10 yards. But I don't know. I mean, if my team was number two in the country, I would also be yelling like Iowa fans were too. Like,
listen, Wisconsin's not back. Wisconsin just is going to win the division. Wisconsin's going to win a division of pretty bad teams.
No, I want to say that they're back just because Dan says they're back and it makes me happy when he's happy.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, Dan doesn't exist in this show's universe. Dan has his own universes.
No, but I mean, as a connoisseur of all things Madison, Wisconsin, I do like when Wisconsin is good.
Casey, you've been there twice.
So?
You can't be a connoisseur somewhere and go there twice.
In my dreams, I am, Brandon. In my dreams.
I'd like to get you a ticket to Madison, Wisconsin, January 15th and see how much you like it.
Send me there. I'll go. What was that steakhouse called? The Rainbow
Room? Tornado Room.
Tornado Room. I'll go there. I'll have a fantastic dinner. I'll get a nice hot coffee. Walk down that street towards the Capitol. Stunning little picturesque walk. Then I'll go stay at the Edgewater and look at the lakes, the snow. Gorgeous.
You ain't gonna see a lake on January 15th. I tell you what. All your idyllic dreams of Madison are built on going there at the end of September in football season. I want to send you January 15th to see how much you like it. I want you to stay for a week.
I dare you. Do it.
Walk out. I love it. You won't even dare walk outside.
Yes, I like it when it's cold. I'd rather be cold than hot.
You don't want to be that cold.
No, but I will say, like, I mean, I mean, growing up in Texas, and obviously, you know, you grew up in Mississippi, like, I don't care what anybody says, being that hot is so much more miserable. You can't take all your clothes off in public. You can put more clothes on.
You know, there's
Send me to Madison.
We're going to talk about the playoff four in a little bit. Because the committee, to be honest, I think has an impossible job. Mm-hmm. But that's a discussion for later in the show. Their easiest job is who to put at number one. And Georgia continues to be far and away the best team. And the reason is their offense is still just okay. It's fine. It's what it is. It's nothing special. But their defense might be one of the all-time greats in college football. This might be an all-time elite defense. And when you watch it, it doesn't even make sense how they have guys that get to the ball that fast and that angry. Like, it's the most impressive defense I can remember seeing in the last 10-15 years.
I'm going to say credit to you a million times. You've been saying how good this team is, and we know that they're number one team in the country. But, I mean, Florida, by the way, they should have been shut out. Like, the fact that they weren't completely shut out is a travesty. But, I mean, Florida looked inept, completely inept yesterday. Then, obviously, you guys blew out Kentucky, which again, credit to you, times three. You called that. Georgia – if Kentucky would have won yesterday, they could have still technically been in the race for the SEC East, and it would have been insane because Georgia is so much better than everybody, not only in that division. Now you're looking at it like they're so much better than everybody they're playing. You have to put them number one easily. Like, if there's one single person out there right now that would not put them at number one, they need to go to an insane asylum.
You know, outside of Georgia, the SEC East is just absolute trash. It's not very good. I think if you're ranking the SEC, you might go Georgia 1, the entire West, the next 7, and then Kentucky.
How is Dan Mullen feeling today? Like, I mean, I know Jackie DeSugar. I mean, how is, like, his seat is so hot.
Well, every win for Georgia is a win for Jack's argument whenever we get into our non-nuanced arguments about recruiting, because recruiting is the number one thing in college football. If you can recruit at the highest level, you can win a national championship. If you can't, you can't. But Kirby Smart is really the poster child of recruiting first and foremost, because they asked Kirby Smart yesterday, hey, what's the difference in coaching? And he basically gave a quote saying, you can't out-coach great recruiting because players are all that matter. And yeah, at the top level, that is absolutely correct. That is 100% correct. And Georgia just has better players than everybody else. And that's the thing. Florida decided to go into a gunfight with Kirby Smart, and they brought in a guy that uses a knife and Dan Mullen. Like, he doesn't attack recruiting the way Smart does. He believes in getting guys that fit his system and that he likes and that he can develop into great college football players. And that works. That can get you 9 wins, but it can't beat the Georgias of the world who's just got 5-star mercenaries out there killing everybody.
Well, and I mean, we've made fun of Kirby Smart for a long time as like the governor in a golf cart. I haven't gotten to say that many times this year, but I mean, he out-coached Dan Mullen all day yesterday. It's, you know, it's a rivalry game in Jacksonville that is one of the biggest rivalries in the country. The game was putrid. Florida looked terrible. I know they started Anthony Richardson. You know, he didn't look as great.
But wait, stop right there. Why the fuck would Dan Mullen, he's had this hanging over the program for a while now. Like, when's Anthony Richardson going to start? He's the more talented guy. When's he going to start? Why the fuck would he choose to start him for the first time against the best defense of the last 10 years? That doesn't make sense.
It does. You know what it reminded me of? And I know it's, you know, can't be completely comparable because it's college NFL, but it's like when Matt Nagy decided to throw out Justin Fields against the Cleveland Browns defense. It was like, you're asking him to get murdered. You're literally putting him out there and saying, here's your first start. Go get annihilated. That's the way it felt yesterday. And all season, I mean, I feel like week two, we were sitting at the gambling house being like, why is Anthony Richardson not starting? Why is he not starting? And here we are, basically in November, he starts him against the number one team in the country in a rivalry game. And it just, I mean, they were embarrassed yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's throwing pick sixes. I mean, there's a guy on Georgia's defense. He's a junior, N'Kobe Dean from Mississippi. Probably the best linebacker in the country. He runs like the fastest running back in America, and he covers. He's unbelievable. Jordan Davis up front, like they've got eight or nine guys.
There's this clip of N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah,
who,
I saw it.
Yeah, when a running back beat him on a route, and that was the one where he had the interception. And he like usually if you're a linebacker and like you know a 4-star running back from Florida who probably runs a 4.5 40. Beat you on a little crossing route, you're usually beat for the rest of the route. He recovered within like 4 steps. It was insane.
It was insane for sure. But I mean, going back to my original question, how hot is Dan Mullen's seat? For real.
I think he's going to be able to save himself by firing his defensive coordinator and then maybe, because I think there is enough hope with Anthony Richardson that you at least get a full year out of him next year and see where it is. But the fall and the collapse of Dan Mullen is fascinating because this game last year, Georgia, Florida, felt like a changing of the guard. Like he stamped it and said, all right, I'm on your level now, Kirby. And since that game, Florida has completely fallen by the wayside. Georgia hasn't lost. And now Dan Mullen's like looking around for answers. I mean, that game yesterday wasn't – those two teams are not comparable. Two teams do not belong on the same field. And Georgia's going to make a lot of teams look like that. But the Florida Gators shouldn't be one of them.
No, I mean, like, you know, we talked about Michigan, Michigan State, and, you know, it is a coin flip. Those teams looked very similar in the same division as rivals. Like, Florida looks so bad. And coming into the season, I think we all said Georgia was going to be the number one team in the East, but we were still flirting with the idea that Florida could make it interesting, and they're not making anything interesting. I mean, I feel like Dan Mullen has just absolutely collapsed. And I don't have an answer of why. Like, I can't figure out what has happened to that team to make them look so bad.
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the other team that in the SEC that were on a bye week and people think could beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, that team also played Florida. They beat them by 2. Just point that out.
Well, Brandon, I mean, Georgia barely beat Clemson, and Clemson should have lost to Florida State. Right?
No, Georgia beating Clemson week one is a totally different animal. Ever since week one, Georgia hasn't – I mean, they've killed Auburn. Auburn's good. They killed Kentucky. They've killed everybody. Like, the Clemson game, you can absolutely see where that can be some sort of little check mark. But, you know, Alabama's had three road games. One was a loss to A&M. One was that against Florida. Anyway, I think – I don't know. We have kind of talked about them earlier, but should we pump my own brakes about Ohio State, or was last night just a bump in the road, or was that last night more about Penn State getting up off the mat and saying, you know what, we're not the trash heap that lost to Illinois? What was last night about? 33-24 Ohio State wins.
I mean, I want to hear from Jack and Katie too. I feel like we need to hear their thoughts as well. But I mean, I said this on the show yesterday that I thought that Penn State would come out swinging. You know, and I took Penn State in the points. I thought Ohio State would win. But, I mean, the way that Penn State played against Illinois was so embarrassing. You know, we've talked about that game a million times with the nine overtimes. They were unable to convert 9 2-point conversions or whatever it was. But Ohio State's offense finally showed that it can be slowed down. I mean, I don't know exactly how many – you know, we've been talking about Chris Olave a lot. Like, I feel like he, you know, he got targeted a bunch yesterday. I think he only had like four catches maybe. CJ Stroud, I mean, they all looked beatable yesterday, as opposed to the fact that we've been saying Ohio State's offense looks so fucking good. They are still really good, but they finally looked like they could be stopped within their own conference. And I think that, you know, most of the time leading up to this week, Brandon, you had said, like, you think that they're by far and away the best team in the Big Ten, and they didn't look like it yesterday.
I still do, though. I still do. Like, their worst game in recent memory, or their worst game in the last 6 weeks, they played a bunch of trash teams. But they still won by 9 last night. I'm still okay with them. I still think their matchups against Michigan State are way in their favor. Like, Michigan State's pass defense is wretched. It's awful. And C.J. Stroud and those receivers will take care of that. Michigan's run defense is leaky as hell. Travion Henderson will take care of that. So I still think, from a matchup standpoint, they, like, Penn State might have been the worst matchup for them, because Penn State's tough up front. Penn State can get after you, and I don't think that Michigan State can replicate what Penn State can do defensively. Michigan can with one guy, with a couple guys up front, but after that, they're not that great. Where are we going next? Cincinnati is doing itself no favors.
I like Katie shook her head. Can I give – I know you're not ever going to do it, Brandon, but can I give myself a little credit here, because you're not going to do it?
No.
Did I not say last week that they were doing themselves no favors because they weren't blowing teams out that they should be blowing out?
Well, all you did was you made an observation.
Yeah, you said that their resume wasn't hurt last week, and they did it again this week.
Well, now, yeah, I agree. You do it 2 weeks in a row, it's really bad.
The committee had you said the committee
they
has
won by 20 points.
I mean, but Jack,
what do you? First like, of all, what are we talking about?
They could not put Tulane away.
Yeah, they could. Tulane didn't score in the second half.
They should have won by 50.
Why? Also, they were 26-point favorites. They won by 19.
Also, Cincinnati is – their resume is still kind of chugging along, though, because Notre Dame just won't – they just won't lose.
And then Oklahoma only beat Tulane by, what, 7 points?
5.
I'm not crediting Oklahoma. I'm saying that when I was watching that game yesterday, that it was just like – Well, I know at the end of the game, yes, the score was 19, but that entire game, you're like, if Cincinnati is a playoff team, and that, you know, we're talking about a group of five team making the playoff over a power five, a one loss power five team, and I still think Cincinnati's going to go undefeated. I've said that all year. I don't think that you can be like, that team should be in over a one loss Ohio State.
Well, that's.
I mean, they can't put 2 weeks in a row. Like, we talk about the eye test all the time. That's the whole point of the college football selection committee, is the eye test. I'm not looking at Cincinnati and be like, they can hang with fucking Georgia.
Yeah, but that's not a prerequisite of getting into the playoff. I don't think that should be a nobody can hang with Georgia. Like,
wait, but I mean, I still don't think they're the – I mean, yes, on paper, they are
– Okay, well, hold on.
I don't think they're one of the four top teams in the country.
Okay, that's fine. We'll have that discussion in a minute. I do hate that we get bogged down in these talks. Should they get it over one loss Ohio State? Hey, where we are right now, October 31st, we don't know if there's going to be a one loss Ohio State. We don't know if there's going to be an undefeated Oklahoma. We don't know, and we get bogged down in these conversations and everything. As of right now, I don't know. I think you have to have Cincy in your top four right now, because after number one, 2 through 6 is just a jumbled mess of unmet expectations, of up and down teams, of teams with a disappointing loss. Like, let's just take – I know who we all think is the better team between these two, right? Cincinnati and Alabama, right?
Yes.
Alabama's best win is Ole Miss, correct?
Yes.
That's right. Cincinnati's best win is Cincinnati's best win is Notre Dame. You know, in a tier for tier, you know, side by side resume, if you forgot the fact that one of the teams was Alabama, one of the teams was Cincinnati, Cincinnati's resume is kind of a little better at this point. Because Alabama, the sneaky part is they don't really have a good win.
No, but I mean, you can make the argument that playing SEC teams every single week makes it harder. I mean, I understand, like, you know, you put one, you know, the Notre Dame win versus the Ole Miss win, but playing an SEC schedule versus a Group of Five schedule is completely different.
Since he also caught a good break last night when Houston beat SMU, because that'll allow them to beat SMU, who's going to be, you know, 10-2. Then they could play Houston for the conference championship. That would help them a lot, because Houston will be 11-1 at that point if everything holds up. Otherwise, you know, their schedule doesn't give them anything else. They got SMU, a ranked team, later, and then maybe Houston. But I don't know. Like, when I say – I think the committee is going to have Cincy in their top four.
I mean, I think that they're going to have to. But I don't think that, I mean, if you put truth serum in everybody in that room, everybody on this current podcast, are they the one of the four top teams in the country? Talent-wise, and if you would bet on them to win the national championship, no, they're not.
I don't know that I wouldn't, though, Casey, because, I mean, Oklahoma has shown a lot of problems all year. And Cincinnati defensively can get after your ass. And Desmond Ritter's good. So in a matchup against Oklahoma, Oklahoma's let a whole lot of bad teams hang around. I'm not sure Cincinnati's not as good as Oklahoma.
I mean, I guess nobody can be sure. But I guess
that's what I'm saying. Like even like Oregon has shown problems. Ohio State, I don't know. I don't think it's crazy to say Cincinnati could be one of the top four teams in the country.
I don't think it's crazy. I know Jack was just saying, like, you know, they did eventually blow them out yesterday. Just the last 2 weeks, it's just like, if you're these big, big favorites and you're a playoff team, Georgia's proving it, it's like you should be
okay.
Blowing the problem, these teams out.
The problem is we got to keep that same energy when Oklahoma beats West Virginia by 3. We got to keep
that same energy. We've said Oklahoma looks like shit all year.
Yeah, Alabama beating Florida by 2. You know, there's all these outliers for these other teams too. Like Ohio State didn't beat Tulsa by much.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's one team that we know deserves to be there. And that's the Georgia Bulldogs.
Let's go ahead and do this. So I told you to bring in the top four, but not your top four, your prediction of what the committee's top four will be.
Yes.
We can do our top four later at another time, but what is your prediction of what the committee is going to say?
Brandon, how did your lock do yesterday?
You know, one thing that's not talked about enough is, A, me and Dave Portnoy have separated ourselves from the pack on the lock-off, that where the winner gets $50,000 in crypto by the end of the season.
From FTX, yeah.
I mean, it's a heavyweight battle for the ages.
We're going
back and forth.
It is a disgusting display by Dan, me, and Ev, no doubt about that. But it is a heavyweight battle between the two of you guys going into November. The college football show is sponsored by FTX. FTX is giving one of the five of us, really one of the two of you and Dave, $50,000 in crypto for whoever wins the lock off. It's now about $100,000, I think, from what Dave has done with his calculations.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. But what we've also established, and I'm going to bring it up just to make sure that every student that's listening right now, is that the number one school with the most FTX signups, which the FTX app is free. And if you go use your .edu email address to sign up for FTX, then it raises you higher up on the leaderboard. I believe it's Penn State is in the lead right now as of yesterday. Right. If you do win, if your school wins, it will split $100,000 in crypto amongst all the signups. And If Dave Portnoy wins the lock-off on the College Football Show, he will be throwing a party in your city, coming to you. If Brandon Walker wins, his kids get to eat.
Right. Yes, I will use the money in a responsible and wise manner. Dave will blow it all on beer and cigarettes.
And pub punk. Depending on who's listening, I mean, I would assume that if you're a student, no offense, they don't care about your kids. They care about partying.
Well, students need to get their priorities right, and they need to realize that they were once children and kids, and they needed food and shelter, and I could really use the money, and Dave will absolutely just piss the money away. So it's all cute and fun and games, everybody. Oh, they're going to have a great party. Fuck them. They're going to party anyway. First of all, you don't need money to party as a college student. You need like $5 to buy some Keystone Light. So they don't need a party. I need the money more than he does. I deserve the money more than he does.
You are a walking FTX ad at this point. You need it so bad. Again, if you, you just go to the App Store, download FTX for free, sign up using your .edu email address. It can increase your school's chances to win. It's the crypto generation. We know that. You know, we don't even necessarily know what it's going to look like. Jack's been on crypto for a long time. FTX is leading it right now. You can track, you can trade. Sign up with your .edu email address, maybe tamu.edu. I don't know. I don't know what Mississippi State's is, UConn, UNC. Go sign up right now. Dave Portnoy will throw you a party.
I will go first.
Go first.
I think the committee will have Georgia number one, okay? I think the committee will have Oklahoma number two. Undefeated still weighs a lot. And I think the committee will have Cincinnati number three. They're undefeated. They have a win over Notre Dame, who in the committee's rankings will probably be either 10 or 11. I mean, that's a top 10 road win. And people are acting like, oh, it's just Notre Dame, it's just Notre Dame. No, they're a top 10 team. And then I think the committee will put Oregon number four.
Really? Yeah.
I think the committee's going to put one Georgia, two Oklahoma, three Cincy, Oregon four. Because the committee is going to look at this and say, all right, where are the wins? And who has a better win than Oregon winning at Ohio State? Nobody does. And then I think you've got number five, Ohio State, six Bama.
Wow, no Michigan.
Maybe five and six, you can whatever. Maybe it's five Alabama, six. But I think that's the four teams. That's my prediction of the four teams. I think they'll have Georgia, Oklahoma, Cincy, Oregon. What about you?
I definitely Georgia number one. I think they're going to have Michigan State number two, which
Time out.
They just beat a top 10 team yesterday.
I forgot Michigan State.
Brandon, I was sitting here the whole time like, wait, what? Like, what do you, like, when you said five and six.
I forgot about Michigan State.
Did you not see my face? Like, Jack, please clip this. Like, the whole time I was like, what?
I'm tired. I'm tired. I forgot Michigan State.
You're sick. It's see, credit.
Hold on.
No. I'm going to go through mine. I'm going through mine while
okay,
you.
Okay, circle back to me.
We'll circle back. This is the clip. This is how you know we're all
sick. Michigan State.
You just forgot the team that you were trying to dunk on me earlier in the
forgot
show.
Forgot about them, yeah.
Okay, number one, Georgia. Yeah. Number two, Michigan State. Number three, Oklahoma. Number four, Cincinnati. That's what I think the committee will do. Do I necessarily agree with it? No, I think we should give our top four on Tuesday after they do reveal them, because we will do it. But I think Michigan State will be the number two team with the win they had yesterday. Obviously, you know, I will admit it. I was wrong. I thought Michigan would win that game. You've got to put Michigan State in there. They're undefeated. They beat their rival.
Yeah, of course you got to put Michigan State in there. I just forgot them. You're right. So you're right. It is Georgia one, Michigan State two, Oklahoma three, Cincy four. That's actually, if you put up Michigan State and then move my others down, that's exactly what I got too. You're right. Yours is right.
Brandon.
Yeah, yours is right.
I forgot
everything we've talked about is Michigan State, and I forgot about it.
I want the clip of saying you're right, yours is right, to be my alarm on my phone.
I messed up once.
No, I'm so happy that you said I was right about something, because you, that takes a lot from you.
Well, you're usually not right.
Well, that's not fair. By the way, I will say this. I got some angry DMs from Michigan State fans yesterday. They're like, see, you're just a dumb blonde. And I'm like, well, you're just outing yourself for being dumb if you think you can dunk on anybody for saying that Michigan might have won that game yesterday.
No, I just, I mean, Michigan State won the game.
Well, no, but that doesn't make me a dumb person because it was a close game. It was the best game of the year. Like,
Not you, but listen, Jack was having fun playing the heel against Michigan State last week. He was having fun playing their fans and fighting with them and going back and forth. And ultimately, I love playing the bad guy too, like Jack was. Ultimately, when it goes against you, you just eat it and move on.
Well, he did. I mean, he put up a shirt yesterday or put up a picture yesterday wearing Michigan State stuff.
Can't believe I forgot Michigan State. Georgia won, Michigan State 2, Oklahoma 3, Cincy 4. I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
I do feel like that's 100% what it's going to be. I don't know necessarily where 5 and 6 goes.
I do think they'll have Oregon 5. I think they'll have Oregon
that,
5.
Oregon. That, well, that's when you said Oregon number 4, I was like over Michigan State. But again, that was a blonde moment for you. We'll move past it. I think Alabama is still going to be high. I don't know. Again, like the committee has an impossible task right now because, I mean, everybody's going to argue outside of the number one team in the country. But I'll be interested to see. I mean, but we also know that these rankings right now don't necessarily matter at all.
Yeah, but the beautiful part about what's going to happen is the committee can rank them however, but we're about to – I mean, Oklahoma's about to enter the meat grinder. They're about to have to play Oklahoma State. They're about to have to play Baylor. And we'll figure out – when they come out the other side of that, we'll either know they don't belong or they really do belong. Same will happen in the Big Ten. Big Ten's going to sort itself out.
Well, I mean, we've talked about October 30th being that day, and it started to for sure, but it will absolutely 100% play itself out because Michigan State, and Ohio State all have to play each other. Jack and Katie, did you guys have any different opinions on what the committee might do?
I think that Oklahoma would probably be 2 over Michigan State. But otherwise, yeah, I don't love Cincy at 4, but there's no one else who I would like, I feel they could justify putting it above.
I wouldn't be shocked if they put Oregon above Cincinnati, but yeah, I think the top 4 that you and Brandon agreed on is probably most likely the top 4. And the thing is with these rankings, we react to the first one because that's what we do, but they usually work itself out. However, we do have the Cincinnati thing this year that we really have never had. So, it really throws a lot of wrenches into it. And I'm sure on Tuesday's show, we can kind of, map out a few things on how Cincinnati can achieve this. But I think it's going to be interesting if a lot of things stay the same, including, Oregon winning out, Ohio State winning out. But we'll get to that on Tuesday and then throughout the rest of the season.
I'll tell you what I came out of yesterday thinking. I think Penn State's going to factor into the Big Ten decision a lot more. Mm-hmm. Than, they get to host Michigan, right? And I don't know if they host Michigan State. But Michigan, who lost yesterday, is definitely not by the letter of the law out of it. They can still – this is still wide open in that conference as whether they pick off Ohio State, whether Michigan State picks off Ohio State. There's still a lot of meat left on the bone there. And I think Penn State standing up to Ohio State yesterday bodes well for them possibly taking Michigan out, taking Michigan State out, something like that. All right, so we'll move on. Because there's a lot of other things that happened yesterday that we haven't even touched.
Can I start with one that I think that we all can – I mean, we've been kind of leaning, working our way up to saying this, and I know you mentioned it casually earlier. Auburn's pretty fucking good.
Auburn is good. And it's one of the biggest surprises to me because I thought the Brian Harsin hire was a bad hire. I thought this guy that was in Idaho, he's never been in the South. How could he recruit? How could he coach? They're disciplined. They're tough. Their defense just gets after you. They run the football. Bo Nix is – I think what we're seeing right now is that Gus Malzahn's a trash coach. Gus Malzahn had Bo Nix looking like one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen. He had these funny offenses with all these little trick things, and these things. Just go out there and recruit great players and let them play football. Don't do all this sugar huddle and don't do all this eye candy and all that shit to make yourself seem smart. Brian Harsin just takes the same team, goes out there. Bo Nix, you're a good quarterback, a tough quarterback, a smart quarterback. Do those things. Hand it off to Tank Bigsby a lot, Jarquez Hunter a lot, and we're going to win games. And they do.
And I mean, upset Ole Miss yesterday, which we all
not an upset. And
on paper it is, but all four of us said it on the show yesterday, but it is on paper an upset if it's 10 versus 18.
Not really. Here's the thing. Can we go ahead and end this Ole Miss fascination people have, this Lane Kiffin fascination people have? Because he does coach like a 9-year-old with ADHD playing Madden. He does. He goes for it all the time. He does that. And it's so cute and funny and great when it works. And it's awesome. It's perfect. But when you're in a SEC football game and you're down 11 points and you need two scores and you decide to go for it on 4th-and-3 instead of kicking a chip shot field goal to get within one score, you're kind of an idiot. I mean, that's just what you are. And there are so many times just that he keeps going for these things and they don't get them. Like, he blew it against Alabama when he kept going for it on fourth down. All of a sudden, he's down 28-0 and there's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fun to watch because, like you said, it's like he's playing a video game. And, like, you know, we saw it in person when we were in Knoxville. Like, it's a fun team to watch. Matt Corral looks like a video game half the time. But, yes, you're right. We should. The fascination is over. And, I mean, you know, no shade, no offense. But did you see how offended Ben Mintz was yesterday that me, you, Dan, and Dave all took Auburn? Did you see that?
I just – you know how I said universes earlier? Like, Dan has his own universes. I wouldn't mind if this were just a Mintz-free universe, to be honest. I wouldn't mind if we just never talked about him and his Ole Miss fandom and his titties jiggling and all that. I just don't know that I really care about that. Like, how's he just standing on the field at Tulane yesterday?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That was
just such a casually really mean comment.
I don't know what you guys want me to say. He was brought into this company to be my enemy and to give me something to play off of, and nothing there. I'd be punching.
I mean, I'll tell you what. The Egg Bowl is going to be a lot of fun for everyone that's not you.
And I'm sorry. Are you ready for that call? Because Mississippi State's beating Ole Miss.
Oh, but you've been saying that.
I've been saying it.
Katie, what was that reaction?
No, I that was an instinct one, but I will say I did the same reaction when you said about Kentucky. So
guys, Ole Miss isn't a very good football team. They're not that good. Matt Corral, the magic has run out for him. He can't put the Superman cape on and drag them up and down the field anymore. Yesterday, he did the nice diva thing, the fake injury, get carted off, and then jog back on like he was going to save the fucking day, and then he just couldn't do shit.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't. And Mississippi State looked good yesterday. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He's a good football team with a couple of bad results. Ole Miss is an average football team with – something like they don't have who they beat anybody.
No, I mean, they still have to play A&M, which it doesn't scare me near as much as it did before yesterday, because I think A&M's defense is one of the top defenses in the country. But Auburn is the team, you know, we're talking about the Big Ten and that'll sort itself out. The SEC West, which we've been saying, I mean, it has to sort itself out. And Auburn is all of a sudden looking like it could represent the SEC West, which I don't think we thought that could potentially be something until, what, 2 weeks ago?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago they could beat Alabama, and I think they will beat Alabama.
Do you think that right now, October 31st, happy Halloween, everyone, do you think they will represent the SEC West?
That I don't know, because I don't know what they'll do between now and then, because I think they'll lose at A&M next week. Let's see, they got two losses. One's an SEC loss, right? So they would, if they lose to A&M, they could probably still represent the West by beating Alabama. So yeah, I think Auburn's going to beat Alabama. If they take care of their business elsewhere, then yes, they could represent them in the West.
Are you burying Ole Miss completely now?
Yeah, no, they can't.
For the three?
They can't win them. They're not going to win. They're not going to beat Mississippi State and Starkville. And they're probably, I don't think there's any chance they beat A&M. I guess if Corral has a hero's performance, but they have a really bad run defense, and you guys have the best pair of running backs in the country, so I don't really think they can beat A&M either.
Katie?
Sorry, I got totally sidetracked. UNC is a 4-point favorite over Wake Forest. That's 8-0.
Katie's mouth, Katie's jaw dropped so quickly and so hard. I was like, did someone die? Like, I thought someone just died.
Well, Wake Forest is a fascinating little thing because we just did our playoff four, right?
Yep.
And we mentioned a lot of teams. I even forgot one. But we're talking Cincinnati. We're talking this one. Nobody ever mentions Wake Forest. And I don't think we should mention Wake Forest. Like, they're 8-0, but they're 8-0 for the time being, right? They finished with four of the tougher games in the ACC. They finished with Clemson. They finished with we got to talk about Clemson in a minute. They finished with NC State. They finished with North Carolina. I think Wake Forest, that dream's about to die. Still a great season for them, but I don't think anybody believes they're a top five team in the country, even though their record is 8-0.
No, I mean, obviously, Vegas doesn't either. UNC's a favorite.
There are several teams that have had moments of shine this year that have now just keep falling on their face. And we got to put a spotlight on them. Texas has lost three straight.
They could not make a bowl game, Brandon.
Texas isn't great.
They blew another double-digit lead yesterday, which I do – I mean, is that 3 weeks in a row they've done that?
I think so.
They could not make a bowl game. University of Texas could not make a bowl game.
I don't know how to say this, but I don't know that Bijan Robinson's really all that good. Casey Thompson hasn't been good. But Baylor's good. Baylor dominated that game. Once they fell behind, they dominated that game and just killed Texas going out. Dave Aranda could be on the short list of maybe the LSU job. Mel Tucker could be on the short list of the LSU job now that I'm thinking about it. But Baylor's good. Iowa State, every time you think Matt Campbell has pulled that iron out of the fire, they fall on their face. They go lose to West Virginia, who's awful, and they now have three losses, so they've taken themselves out of the interesting race. And Pitt just blows it against Miami. But I would say this. I think we might have buried Miami too fast. Like, Miami's not a bad football team. No. You can make that face. Miami's not a very bad football team.
No. I mean, I also had them as one of, like, the surprise teams. I that face is more towards myself because I thought that they were going to be one of the top surprise teams in the country because I really believed in Derek King. They're not a horrible football team, but they're not what I expected them to be in the ACC this year.
No, but I think when they lost early to Alabama the way they did, then they lost early a couple of times. They're 4-4, which isn't great. They just beat Pitt and NC State back-to-back, and those are two of the better teams in the ACC. They made the change to the young quarterback, and they made the change, and they've got some other young players in there. Like, they're fighting, and they're showing something for the future. Manny Diaz might save his job.
Katie, I see that you're reacting.
No, I totally agree. The Iowa State thing, it's just – it's like you start to get hope and whatnot. I'm also still sidetracked on the Wake thing because the line is starting to come out. I don't get it. But this is another conversation. But yeah, the Iowa State, you always start to get hope and then it just flattens. Every time they have a stage to do something good, they're just done.
Well, like they also got screwed yesterday by the refs.
But like of people, of darlings of 2020, of the COVID year, it was like them and Coastal. Coastal still... minus app than Iowa State's, I feel it's fallen off even more than Coastal has.
Jack, it's just, again, such a loser mentality to blame refs after a loss.
That is true.
What happened in the Mississippi State Memphis game this year?
Those two teams didn't play. By the way, if that hadn't happened, we'd be 6-2 right now. We'd be cruising. Anyway, also, remember when Arizona State looked like they were going to be pretty good?
Oh, my God.
They got shithoused by Washington State.
Shithoused.
Without a coach.
Embarrassing. Again, Arizona State is so fascinating because they have the talent. They have the head coach. It's just like it just doesn't work.
Mm, yeah, it certainly
just doesn't work. And, I mean, you talk about, like, I do think that the Big 12 will play itself out. I mean, it's just Oregon in the Pac-12, right? I mean, there's nothing left other than Oregon.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot there, but I think, you know, if they play Utah in the conference championship game, Utah has gotten off the mat. They're pretty good. I don't know.
UCLA yesterday. Killed them.
Yeah, UCLA is just a disappointing team, too. I just want to look at the standings because I don't know the standings in the Pac-12.
Pac-12 is just bizarre. I mean, like,
bizarre
because, like, Utah looks great last, like, yesterday last night, but they lost last week to Oregon State. And Oregon State, you lost yesterday to Cal, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's complete madness. And I guess, I mean, we all know the best chance for the Pac-12. USC allowed Arizona to score 35 points yesterday. Arizona scored 0 points against Colorado. Washington, Jimmy Lake saved his job last night on like a last second touchdown drive, because I think if they lost to Stanford yesterday, that might have been it. The Pac-12 is a weird, weird place right now. I looked at the stats through their first – or it wasn't me. Somebody put it up with Chip Kelly in his first whatever – however many games at UCLA compared to every other coach in UCLA history. It's bad, man. And we talked about it preseason about how, like, oh, this could be the year for Chip Kelly, and it's what, they're 5-4 now? An improvement, but this was the team. Like, this was, what, his fourth year or so? It's a real shame what's going on out there with UCLA. That may be – there may be two open jobs in L.A.
Yeah.
No, did you see the photo of USC yesterday, the crowd?
Yeah, but I mean, why would you – if you lived in L.A., why would you go to fucking USC, Arizona?
Yeah, but like, you know, we're talking about – and I understand USC is definitely a top job. It always will be. But when you look at that, you're like, how can – I mean, I think I'm sold on LSU is just a better job at this point.
Oh, no question about it.
LSU is a much better job because at USC, you're going to have to build back the rapport with the fan base. You're going to have to build back enthusiasm and excitement and getting people into your stadium. Your first game at LSU, there's going to be 110,000 people there with another 75,000 in the tailgate. So it's just – listen – football breathes a lot more in the South and the East. It just does. You have to win to attract a following out West, and you don't win immediately. So anything back East, any comparable job to me is a much better job than anything out West.
I'd agree. I mean, I understand. I still feel like it's so weird that there's not even like a rumor that's like solidified about what USC is going to do.
Now for Oregon though, Oregon has Washington left. They got Washington this week, and then they play Washington State, who's 5-4, shockingly. But they have at Utah, Oregon does. So Utah is dangerous. Utah, if you're looking at what could happen to Oregon to knock them down, that could be it. Okay, here's a couple.
They'll probably have to play them twice, right? Because then they'd probably play them again in the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, but I think that trip to Utah is the one – is the danger one, because conference-wise, yeah, Utah – right now they're 4-1 and they're two games above anybody else that could bother them, because Arizona State they already beat. So they would have the tiebreaker there. Just nothing there in the Pac-12 South, man. Nothing there in the Pac-12 North either.
We're all down bad because we're not feeling well. You know, we've got maybe the sniffles, the cold. The best thing ever though, Brandon, is as soon as we get off this recording, I am going to make myself some unbelievable soup from HelloFresh.
When I got home, it wasn't this week, but it was last week. I got home from Indiana. My wife had made the HelloFresh Sloppy Joes.
Oh my God. I love the Sloppy Joes. They're so good. I'm in the mood for soup. Obviously it's cold outside. It's fall. I'm not feeling well. They do this like really, really good veggie soup that I'm going to make, but we love HelloFresh because no matter what mood you're in, whether you want Sloppy Joes, I made the meatloaf last week. I think it's actually called like your mom's meatloaf, which is very funny, but also it's like, it tastes like my mom's meatloaf. HelloFresh is the best because you get to go pick your menu no matter what mood you're in, whether you're trying to eat healthy, whether you're trying to eat keto, whatever you want to do. If you don't care about all that, you have those options as well. And you select your menu every single week. They send you everything pre-portioned perfectly that you don't have to do anything else. You just follow the directions and you're eating a gourmet meal. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's just, it comes to you in this package, right? And everything is like pre-made, it's pre-packaged, it has the card. It's like, it's easy. It's easy and anybody can do it. I am a pretty good cook, but with HelloFresh, I don't even have to be a good cook. You just do it.
No, you just do it. And people think that you're a really good cook. I've been saying this. I told Katie to do it as well. Like you can trick people into being like, oh my God, she's such a great cook when you're just following HelloFresh. But it also makes the holidays easier. You know, they have a ramen right now, which is delicious. It's getting cold outside, but it's just so easy to do, whether you want to get two meals, you want to get four meals, whatever it may be, you can go to HelloFresh right now and you can cut back on the meal prep and the cleanup. I mean, it's just, it really, I say this all the time. I pay for HelloFresh. I truly do. My hard-earned money, I pay for HelloFresh because it's really, you can't beat it. And it's all fresh, obviously, because it is HelloFresh. So right now, if you go to HelloFresh.com/Walker14 and use the code Walker14, you get 14 free meals and three free gifts.
That's 2 weeks of free meals.
That's 2 weeks. And I mean, it's expensive to eat sometimes. Like you've mentioned before, you have to feed your children. HelloFresh helps that a lot. And it is completely farm to table fresh. You get 14 free meals. Again, HelloFresh.com/Walker14. It is America's number one meal kit for a reason. I will be making that soup and then passing out and taking NyQuil because I feel like shit.
One of the most exciting things yesterday happened in a game that we talked about coming in. Houston SMU was 7-0 against 6-1. Did you see how Houston won, Casey?
Yes, I did.
103-yard kickoff return. To a guy that has 8 kickoff returns in his career. Now he has 9, 103-yard kickoff return. I'd argue that might be the most fascinating and exciting way to win a football game I've ever seen.
You can't get – it's shocking that they even have it as 103 because I feel like it should just be 100. I mean, it's
– Well, they probably do. I just said 103 because I watched it.
Okay, fair. I would definitely make that argument. I will say – I don't think that was the most exciting way a game ended yesterday, depending on what side you were on.
Which one was more exciting?
I think the Clemson Florida State ending.
That's an all-time bad. Although, I mean, for gamblers that had Houston, I mean, that was also.
That's true. I guess I'm just biased because I didn't have anything on the Houston game. I did have Clemson, so that helped. But, I mean, 103-yard kickoff return, absolutely. But the way that Florida State blew that cover yesterday was just
– You know, it was, and it shouldn't happen, and it's crazy, and it's awful for gamblers that had the Florida State plus 9.5. That being said, teams look clueless when they try to do what Florida State tried to do yesterday.
They do.
They threw a ball to a guy that was about 15 yards down the field. And he had room to advance, but instead of advancing, he immediately turned around and started throwing it backwards. They had no idea what they were doing.
They were just
throwing it backwards for the sake of throwing it backwards. They weren't actually even trying to get the ball up the field. They had just seen on TV that the way to do it is lateral, lateral, lateral. They were lateraling for the sake of lateraling. Like, it didn't even make sense what they were doing. They deserve to get punished for that shit.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. They definitely
gamblers didn't deserve it, but Florida State had no idea what they were doing.
No, and you're right. It renders teams looking completely inept when that schoolyard shit starts to happen. Like, they just look like they've never understood what football looks like. I honestly can sit here and say, and I mean, I've not been in the gambling world very long. I've only been in it since I started at Barstool. But just from paying attention to it, I think that is the worst beat I have ever seen in ever.
It's one of them. It joins, I think one happened a lot like that in the NFL last year. Cardinals might have been involved. But yeah, it's certainly, if you had Florida State plus 9.5, thoughts and prayers to you because that the way that ended, and the fact that it was bad. It was real bad.
I mean, well, and Clemson's just real bad.
Yes and no. They're half bad. Their offense is atrocious and terrible. Their defense is still really good. You still got to bring your lunch pail to beat them. Like, they're not their demise can be summed up in the fact that they probably whiffed on the quarterback and they don't have any weapons at receiver and running back, but their defense could go out and play a playoff game tonight and not get embarrassed.
Yeah, they just need a whole different offense.
But there's a lot of teams like that. You know, there's a lot of teams that have half, like Iowa has half a good team. Wisconsin has half a good team.
Yeah, but Iowa and Wisconsin weren't projected to be in the playoff this year.
No, no, that really neither here nor there. I'm just saying there are a lot of half teams out there.
You wouldn't expect Clemson
to have a half team the way they recruit.
Right, how good they've been and how DJ played last year against Notre Dame. We're sitting here talking about Notre Dame, and I know last year is last year, but, I mean, I feel like when you have a half team, when you were projected to be a top four team in the country the entire season – and you're not even probably the best team in your conference, that's a bad team.
Again, Clemson's not a bad team, I don't think.
In comparison to what they should have been or what we thought they were
being. In comparison to where they've been, yeah. But I just want to make sure we're not we're just keeping it tight with the comparisons. Like, Clemson's not a bad team. They're a bad Clemson team.
Okay, fair. I'll take that.
All right. Who won the weekend? Who lost the weekend? Shit list.
I mean, we all know who won the weekend, right?
Well, I think it's more hyper-specific than that. I'll go first.
Okay.
You could certainly say Michigan State won the weekend, but I think Kenneth Walker III won the weekend. I think in a year where individual performance hasn't really risen above to a level that we've seen before, like there's been no Trevor Lawrence this year, there's been no Johnny, there's been no Tua. Like, there's been nobody that really stood out and stood up as one of the best players in the country. But Kenneth Walker, since the day he got to Michigan State, he had the 260-yard performance in the opener against Northwestern. And then yesterday, it's so hard for a running back in this day and age of football to be far and away the best player on a team, right? Like we've kind of long since accepted that running backs are kind of interchangeable, especially at the pro level. But that wasn't the case at Michigan yesterday. Michigan, almost everywhere else, was better than Michigan State, but Michigan State had the best player in the game. And every time Michigan State needed something, they got it from him. 5 touchdowns, 200 yards against your rival in a top 10 matchup, the biggest game you'll ever play in your life. Kenneth Walker III vaulted himself to the top of the player heap in college football, and he won the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the micro in the macro argument. It's like, I mean, Michigan State to me is by far and away the winner of the weekend because, I mean, and granted, you know, we got to be there. We got to see the energy and the excitement. But this team, I mean, I know they made the playoff, but, like, they got shellacked by Alabama like we talked about. But, like, this was such a massive game for them against a top 10, you know, and they are a rival. They get called little brother all the time. I understand Michigan, Ohio State is a bigger rivalry in the scheme of things. But to Michigan State, yesterday was the biggest game they've played in years outside of making the playoff. I mean, I would even argue that what that meant to that team yesterday would be even more because, you know, you had Michigan coming in undefeated. You had, you know, I mean, in our tiny little world, you had Dave Portnoy flipping off the entire crowd. You had just the whole aura around that game. And Mel Tucker, like, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, we haven't talked enough about this year. You watched him on the sideline yesterday, just the emotion that they had. Michigan State is going to be, I think, the number 2 team in the college football playoff rankings. And they deserve to be after yesterday. They do. I mean, it was a hell of an emotional game. I didn't think it was going to happen. They won the weekend.
Also, they might lose to Purdue. Jack, who won the weekend?
For me, it's Michigan State, but you guys said it. Saw Georgia's defense again just being completely and utterly dominant. Yeah.
Katie
Sass, who won the weekend?
Another facet of Michigan State, so I'm going to say the transfer portal. In the beginning of the year, we were talking about we went through each conference and we're like, what fan base has the most and least excited to be excited about? And you said, who the hell wants to be a Michigan State fan? What do they have going for them? And I was like, they overturned their entire team for a transfer portal. So I think that Michigan State right now is a great case study for, hey, with the one-time transfer rule, you can overturn your team and just go from meh to absolutely phenomenal. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of this happening. Like Dabo, how he normally is not a transfer portal person, that might start happening. So I think just whole world of the transfer portal is going to change because of Michigan State this year.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I like
one.
That.
Casey, who lost the weekend?
Michigan.
I don't think so, but go ahead. Explain it.
Well, in my heart, it was Michigan. No, I would say probably Dan Mullen. I think Dan Mullen, we talked about it already. I think that he went from having these hopes and dreams of potentially, you know, being the best team in the SEC East. You know, I think last year he just got broken along the way. He stayed broken. He made a poor decision yesterday, starting Anthony Richardson. I mean, all the things we talked about when we talked about this game. And I think that his hot seat is much, much hotter than anybody expected it to be. I think he lost the weekend. Also, I mean, I know I was kind of tongue-in-cheek. I mean, Michigan didn't lose the weekend, but the hype around Michigan felt very, very deflated very quickly. Now, of course, like, we're biased because we have to, you know, sit next to Dave. So we watched just the deflation happen in real life. But I think Dan Mullen is probably the biggest loser of the weekend. Yes.
You just pointed to something that was fascinating me the whole time. I still never understand why anybody was hyping Michigan to begin with. or really Michigan State. Neither team is probably a top eight team in this country. And I don't really give a shit about Dave Portnoy. I mean, he can't name a linebacker on Michigan, but I just like, they're okay, but they were never as good as we acted like they were, or anybody acted like they were.
Okay.
Katie, who lost the weekend?
Well, as we kind of said earlier, Florida betters and under betters in that, Florida State betters, but I'm going to say ESPN College Game Day.
Ooh, Katie.
That came from our set versus their set, and it was their sponsored. It was like the Pizza Hut fan cam, so that was sponsored. So you know they had to make that as good as possible. So I'll be very surprised to see if ESPN goes somewhere that we go anytime soon.
I will say that is something that, I mean, of course, you're going to have the Barstool haters on social media no matter what. But the people yesterday were like, oh, well, I mean, you chose a bad time to take the photo of College Game Day. It's like, no, that was from their broadcast. They would not put something up that would embarrass a sponsor. That was who was at that crowd versus who we had at our crowd. I love that, Katie.
Jack, who lost the weekend?
Scott Frost. Nebraska was a 7-point favorite yesterday.
Yeah.
They lost straight up to Purdue. Herm Edwards is up there too. Just some really bad coaching. Two guys were probably on a hot seat more so than not. Scott Frost, I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to make a decision. I don't know if it's the right call to sack him, but it's getting close.
Yeah.
And then also Kansas put on like one of the worst performances in like Power 5 football history on Saturday. So they're all also right. A loser for me.
I'm going to say the guy that lost the weekend was Jim Harbaugh. And I'm not going to say because he lost the football game. But I'm going to say this because he had built up – he spent 7 weeks building up a better relationship with Michigan and showing that, they were right to extend him and they were right to do all these things. But if you're Michigan and when you have a chance to take that next step and you have a chance to be relevant and be a top five team, you always need to take it. You got to take it. And if you're up 30-14 in the third quarter against your rival in a do-or-die game in the biggest game in the country, Jim Harbaugh has to land that plane. He has to land that plane. If you're the coach of the Michigan Wolverines, a top 10, 15 job in this country, you have to win that football game. And they figured out a way to lose. They figured out a way, despite having 180 more yards, despite having a quarterback who was much better than his counterpart, despite having a defense that had a bunch of sacks, Jim Harbaugh lost that football game. And to me, great game, fantastic. But if you're the coach of the Michigan Wolverines and you're a coach worthy of that job, you don't lose that game. So I think we lost the weekend. I don't know that I have a shit list, but if anybody, Casey, you got one?
Well, I think Jack and I will probably agree. The referees, once again, I think we talk about the SEC refs all the time. Again, credit to Michigan State. I'm not saying the fact that.
Can I counterpoint?
You stop. Credit to Michigan State. They were down double digits in the third quarter. They could have easily laid
stop
down.
Stop paying credit to Michigan State when you're obviously not crediting Michigan State.
I am crediting Michigan State.
But you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're blaming the refs.
I'm not blaming the refs. The refs had a shitty game yesterday, no? Did they not miss some? First of all, that was a fumble in the first quarter. Absolutely was a fucking fumble.
I will grant you that. Okay. But this idea that last play was pass interference, it probably was. I mean, we've seen a lot less
pass interference calls that were missed yesterday. And credit to Michigan State.
Stop saying that!
Credit to Michigan State. They won the football game. And not only did they win the football game, they came back from a very big deficit that should have even been more than it was in the third quarter against their rival who was playing really well. However, the refs had a fucking shitty game in East Lansing yesterday.
Okay. That fourth down play, we've seen a lot less called pass interference. I would agree with that. But let's not forget, Michigan was running a pick play, a rub play, where they were trying to get people to collide so that they're – and it ended up the collision that they wanted actually involved kind of their receiver. Like,
yes.
we've seen a lot less called for pass interference, but they kind of got what they deserved there by calling that.
here's the thing. I think that, like, if that stood alone in a vacuum, then yes. But there were multiple calls leading up to that that were already controversial. So then that, because it happened on the fourth down play, it was like, wait a minute. Like, they've been missing this. Like, the roughing the passer, which was roughing the passer, but it felt like it was like a makeup call even in that moment. And then they miss another pass interference call. So, again, I will repeat, credit to Michigan State.
Stop saying that. You're not actually crediting them.
I'm saying it.
Do you think just saying credit to somebody gives them credit? I mean, you say credit to you, but fuck you. I mean, that doesn't work.
I didn't say that. I said credit to Michigan State.
But you're not actually.
Can we come up with a compromise? I think this is a compromise that will do both parties. Michigan State had a great comeback, and it was on them because they had to lead that to win. And they had a few calls they were certainly helped with. The game might have gone to overtime without their refs.
This is sad. Like,
Michigan State still had to do it.
This is
like
sad.
They had a great game.
Katie, I will virtually shake your hand. This I agree to that compromise, Brandon.
This is bad. I don't agree to that compromise.
Oh my God. Move on.
What are you talking about? She just said credit to Michigan State.
If I hear word credit to somebody again, I'm gonna blow my fucking brains out. This is we don't have to give credit to everybody all the fucking time either. Anyway,
rent free in your head.
Shut up.
Yep. Rent free. Credit to is rent free in Brandon Walker's head. In little brother Brandon Walker's head. There it is.
Does anybody else have a shit?
Rent free. Wait. Credit to is rent free in little brother Brandon Walker's head.
I have a shit list.
Go.
First off, the UNC O-line, because Sam Howell is carrying that entire team on their back. Second shit list, anyone who says candy corn is bad.
Candy corn stinks.
Good. I like it.
Credit to Casey. Candy corn does stink.
Ohio State fans storming the field, I thought was really lame.
They did? Oh, God.
Big time.
Yeah,
I will say, like, when Wisconsin stormed the field, like, it was like, okay, they did beat the number 19 in the country that shouldn't have been the number 19 in the country. But I was like, okay, like, whatever, let them have fun. Ohio State doing it. I mean.
I got a little shit list. Okay.
Let the kids have fun. It's Halloween, right?
My shit list is, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a clip out there of the Auburn-Ole Miss game where an Ole Miss defensive lineman is walking to his position, just walking, like, standing tall, walking, everything's fine. And then, tragedy befalls him, and he falls down and grabs his knee. And this happened against Tennessee a lot, too. They're being coached or something to fake injuries at Ole Miss and to absolutely stunt the game and everything. And it's just, I'm all for gamesmanship. I'm all for, like, loopholes and trying to get momentum, but that's just cowardly football. And it's a morally bankrupt institution. They keep going for it. They're exposed, and they're just awful people. I'm going to put Ole Miss on my shit list. It's interesting, yeah.
Credit to you.
I hate you so much. All right. So we have the
I'm just
going to want to put myself on the shit list for forgetting Michigan State in my playoff four.
Credit to you.
So we're not going to put that clip out. Anyway.
No, we are going to put that clip out. Can I do an honorable mention shit list?
Sure.
Dave Portnoy. Ruining our holiday weekend for getting everyone sick.
All right. Everybody good?
I think so. Well, no, I'm not. I'm physically not good. I know you're also down bad too, but yes, I guess we're good.
All right. Tuesday night, playoff reveal. We'll join you after. So that's on this there. What?
Happy Halloween. Wait,
before everybody goes, what's the best Halloween candy?
I just don't care about Halloween.
I just wanted to talk about how much I love Reese's. That's really what I wanted to do.
Mini Snickers.
Anything with chocolate and peanut butter.
Mini Kit Kats. Okay, that's unnecessary reference.